Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am really honored. I get to share the microwave with really interesting people who are entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, small business owners, virtual assistants, web developers. Honestly, these are just other people who have wonderful stories to share and who are excited to freely share their business wisdom as well as their tips and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome Adam Homey back to the show. Adam has been a guest several times in the past. He's also a very dear friend of mine. He's also a fellow techie. So for better or worse, we live in a world where it seems that just about everything has become politicized and polarized. Whether it's the election, some tweet that got somebody a little bit fired up, or the latest scandal, we're constantly called upon to take sides, even if we don't want to. So how do we survive and thrive on social media with all of the controversy and politics going on? In this interview today, which I promise is going to be very exciting, Adam Homey, the founder of the Business Creators Institute and editor-in-chief of The Morning Adam, I love that. It's a new program. I love it. I want him to tell us about it. Share survival tips as well as languaging and persuasion techniques that will help you survive and thrive whether you choose to participate or not. And a bit about Adam before we get started. He is a zany, fun-loving internet geek who uses technical terms like 404'd and edit the functions .php file in everyday conversation. I actually speak those languages, so we get along just fine because I am also a self-professed techie nerd. In fact, I am a nerd in stilettos. Adam has been involved with the whole online thing since the mid-1990s, back when frames or no frames was the question of the day, and a sophisticated site, and that's in air quotes, by the way, had lots of animated GIFs and rich textured backgrounds and not much else because we didn't really have GUI, graphical user interface. So as founder and creator of the Business Creators Institute, he is the secret weapon in the arsenal of dozens of internet marketers, and I know many of them, executive marketing solution providers, and professional service providers. And as editor-in-chief of The Morning Adam, a popular daily online publication, he brings together business, online marketing, persuasion, copywriting, and current events in a fun and very exciting way. His passionate causes include helping forward-thinking business creators break out of corporate jail, I love that, and claim their own destiny. And he is also an animal rescue and rights advocacy. And we both have black cats. We talk about our black cats quite a bit on social media. Welcome back, Adam. I am so glad you're here. And please tell the audience a bit about you that I might have missed in that introduction.
Well, first of all, it's always a pleasure to be on your Partner in Success radio show. I know that you've had me on as a guest at least two or three times, and you've been on the Business Creators radio show, which is my show, a couple of times as well. So it's my honor that you and I are allies in business and allies in marketing. I think that's fantastic, and it's something I'm very grateful for. What I've been up to very recently is I'm working on a new program that's going to help take conservatively 30 to 40 hours a week out of the busy work that entrepreneurs and business owners need to do and enable them to spend more time sitting right at the intersection of their brilliance and passion. And at the same time, have 3 to 5 times the amount of engagement that they typically have with their audience. It's a really great thing. It's a win-win-win across the board. So that's the last you're going to hear of my upcoming plans for this entire show, because this is all about you and your listeners. Just want to get that out of the way so we can have the whole hour. And what we're doing over at the Morning Adam, at themorningadam.com, which is also on Facebook and on Twitter as the Morning Adam, is, as you said, we're bringing together current events, marketing, and business in a way that is a little bit different than a lot of other people look at it. Like, I like to do a lot of story selling, and also I like to use analogies and just things that happen to me in the day-to-day to illustrate business points. For instance, we have an article that is going to be coming out very shortly about why a person living in Las Vegas should drive to San Diego instead of flying. It's just, yeah, that's kind of the level we play at, and it starts to help people see things in a different way. And the big reason I'm so excited and honored that you invited me to be on your show today is I want to apply some of the same thinking to some of the crap we deal with every time we log into Facebook that makes us want to just unfriend everybody and climb under a rock.
I'm glad you use that word, because frankly, it's a word that I've been using a lot. You know, I'm not a big curse swear person, curse words, swear words. I mean, they have their place, certainly, but it is just crap. It's just, I have unfriended and unfollowed so many people that I'm almost fearful I'm not getting some news. But, you know, the thing, Adam, and you've heard me say this, Facebook is, you know, Facebook in particular, but LinkedIn, Twitter, all of them, you're literally inviting people into your living room or your kitchen or wherever it is that you're standing typing this stuff. TV, same thing. You're allowing that stuff to come into your house. When
right.
people want to get nasty with me or with anybody else on Facebook, I have a very low tolerance level. In fact, I have no tolerance level for it. And I will just go, okay, you know, I'm looking at you. You've got a history of this. We're done.
Right.
And I will delete them from my presence, which is extreme, but it's almost gotten that bad. So why are people angry? I mean, what is going on? This, and we were talking in the green room, this is not terribly new, but now it is just crisis proportions. So what is going on in your view?
Okay, not to get too psychological, but a lot of what we have actually going on is a Freudian type reaction, believe it or not. And the way I like to explain this is to compare it to some of the stuff that people who decide to become vegan go through. I myself, being vegan, I know the whole thing. I get the 20 questions. If I'm at a restaurant with a bunch of people and I say, yeah, I'll just have a salad and add extra carrots and make sure that there's no dairy products on it, next thing you know, are you vegan? How do you get your protein? Does that mean you still eat chicken and fish? And things like that. And what happens is we see this thing on, especially on Facebook. Now, have you noticed that people post stuff about bacon a lot?
I do. I'm guilty. I like bacon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's funny in a way, but there's something else that may be going on there. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who posts about bacon does this, because some people just genuinely love bacon. I used to back in the day before I made the lifestyle change back in 2012. I could have 6 strips of bacon for breakfast and then go for seconds. I was really a bacon guy back in the day. But there usually are some things going on. And what it comes down to is, let's say we want to look at it as, you know, in terms of political discussions, like in what's going on here today in 2016, the question we have to ask is, does it bother people more that people like Donald J. Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein exist in the first place, or difficult to handle is that there may be other people who are just as smart as you, who have the same level of cognitive ability and the same level of perceptiveness about what's going on in the world, love the one you hate, and can intelligently state that other person's case in the way that you look at and say, hey, this kind of makes a little bit of sense. And for some people, that's very challenging to grasp. And the way they'll deal with it sometimes is through some Freudian areas, one of which is reaction formation, which is anxiety-producing emotions and thoughts. Like, for instance, you know your bacon cheeseburger came from a factory farm, and we don't need to get into what goes on factory farms. So they tend to overcome that by exaggerating the opposing tendency, like bacon. Another one is isolation. And this is when people want to do something, but they know it's wrong. So it's very easy to remove inconvenient emotions, like going back to factory farms. Like, I can stop factory farms. I'm just one person. I can't do that. So, hey, we might as well have some more bacon. Hey, here's some bacon. I made it extra crispy. The third one is rationalization. So in order to avoid an uncomfortable truth, people sometimes make up nonsense at the other extreme. This is, for example, you say vegans destroy the ecosystem by eating up all the plants that animals need to survive. You ever heard that one? Or have you ever heard
I have.
Or have you also heard, and I tell this joke sometimes because I actually think it's funny, I'm a secondhand vegetarian. My food, you know, I eat what ate the vegetables, so therefore I'm a vegetarian. I mean, have you heard that one before? You know, that's rationalization. Like, we'll come up with something that may be way out there on the other side, but it supports what we need to believe or feel ourselves needing to believe. This is where you end up with memes that show our presidential candidates with faces distorted to make them look like aliens, for instance.
Yeah.
Another one is hypochondriasis, which is an excessive worry about being ill. So sometimes people look at vegans and they'll say, come on, man, steak has protein. If you don't eat meat, you're going to waste away and die. So what this comes into is, I literally can't sleep at night because I'm afraid the other person's going to win. Or I literally cannot focus on my work because there are people out there who did not change their profile picture to a rainbow. And I've seen those sentiments expressed by people who otherwise come across as being completely rational. And I believe that they're completely rational, but I believe that there's something going on, and that's what we're going to cover here, that's making it a challenge for them to see beyond that. And I myself have been guilty of this, and maybe a little bit later we'll get into that. So I understand it from a first-person perspective as well as a third-person perspective. Another one is intellectualization, which is focusing on areas surrounding the issue to avoid the anxiety of the issue itself. For instance, those who know that their food used to be a living animal can say something like, well, animals aren't sentient beings. They don't feel pain. They don't know what's happening. And that's another way of rationalizing how you can decide that you're going to post something on your Facebook like, well, if that's what you believe, just unfriend me now. We have nothing in common. So it's the idea that if these people who see things differently than you do don't stand and they're just way off in what you view as left field, you just want to get rid of them because obviously they're not capable of processing rational thoughts, so the heck with them. And then the sixth one is denial, which is not just a river in Egypt. So if we're looking at what people will say to vegans, they'll say, you know, PETA fakes those videos to fool the tree huggers into donating into them. Now, come on. I cooked this bacon special for you. You can eat it just this once. Don't insult me. Eat the bacon. So what they're saying is that maybe the whole thing about factory farms and animal torture and whatever it is that makes vegans want to be vegan is just a big lie. So they deny it even exists. And when you put these six Freudian areas together, that can create a very powerful mix of emotions, which is why we see people who will see something on social media, especially Facebook, especially Twitter, not quite as much LinkedIn because LinkedIn still has much more of a business type feel to it. But particularly on the social networks where our profiles are our avatars, like Facebook and Twitter, and they'll see this thing and it just burns them up inside. And it's like, I got to say something, and I can't believe somebody could put that. And how did this person get on my friends list in the first place? How did I miss them? And these are some of the emotions that come up. I have to give credit for this outline to the folks at Vegan Chowhound, who came up with an article called People Hate Vegans, Freud Could Explain Why. And it's these six Freudian areas: reaction formation, isolation, rationalization, hypochondriasis, intellectualization, and denial.
And we can take that and move it over to the political arena now, apparently. But I have to say,
right,
I'm not a vegan. I eat a lot of vegetables. I eat a lot of fresh and organic foods, mostly because I like them. And I'm really not a big meat eater, but I do eat a lot of fresh seafood. I don't understand why anybody could care what you eat or what I eat unless I'm taking it off
right
of their plate. I mean, what the heck is that all about?
Well, what it is that people find themselves being challenged in a way. Like, for example, they see that they themselves are embracing something that they know at some level may be causing pain to somebody else. Like, they recognize that there are these things called factory farms. They recognize that maybe somebody's getting hurt as a result of all this. Maybe there's chemicals and poison in the food, but they just, and yet there they are, they have that cheeseburger in front of them and they want to eat it. So in order to be able to take the cheeseburger, lift it off their plate and put it in their mouth, they have to change the framework through which they're looking at things. Like, for instance, to say rationalization. Well, vegans destroy the ecosystem by eating up all the plants and animals need to survive, which is where sometimes we say that we pity the fools who support that other candidate, or we don't understand how somebody could possibly be so heartless that they couldn't change their profile picture to a rainbow or just one day, or what do you mean that guy has constitutional rights? Didn't you hear what they said on his recorded voicemail?
I know. It is astonishing, and it's vicious. Look, I mean,
it
I would tolerate a lot, but if you come onto my page or my social media, you have literally walked through my door. And at that point, you're mine. I mean, if you say something, and it doesn't happen to me often, I have to say. People are normally pretty polite towards me. Maybe I'm scary. I don't know. But if you come and you post some kind of nonsense or something that is argumentative, I don't even bother to engage. I may go look at how you've treated people, and then I make the decision not to engage, and I'll just block you. You know, we're just done here.
Right.
I'm not going to engage with somebody who clearly came there to insult me or the other people that responded to my post or whatever it is. Again, it doesn't happen often, but I see it on other people's pages. And, Adam, I promise you, I will never need a facelift. My eyebrows are permanently my hairline these days. I'm like, what? you just
yeah, didn't. Yeah.
And you didn't get the crap slapped out of you? What? So, yeah, I'm going to have a healthy-looking face forever and ever, apparently.
Right. And I know a lot of people
but
feel this way. Yeah, a lot of people feel this way because when I broach this topic and you can get people talking rationally, they're going to recognize that there is a real problem out there. And, you know, we see that sometimes folks recognize that maybe the best thing to do is to stay out of it entirely. You know, you told me about your grandfather, and when you were a young girl, you asked your grandfather who he was voting for.
No, somebody asked who he was going to vote for, and I'll never forget it. But tell the story because it's important.
Yeah, your grandfather. Am I getting that right? Your grandfather.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so you asked your grandfather who he was planning to vote for, and he said, "No, absolutely not. That I'm not telling you who that is because that is private. That is something that I will do when I'm in the ballot box. But my vote is my business." And he drew a very strong line on that, which is, I don't just need to discuss that with you. I don't need to clear that with anybody. And I don't need anybody to know. You don't need to know my business. That's between me and the ballot box. And
exactly. So, and I took that away growing up, because I don't remember who it was that asked him that. But I remember his response, and he was very clear. It is not your concern. I will not discuss it.
Right.
For all the reasons that you just stated. And I kept that. You know, apparently it resonated with me because I've always been that way. You can ask me who I'm going to vote for. I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business.
Right.
Now, you and I can chat, but, you know, a basic stranger or somebody that I don't really know well, they have no business asking me any such thing. It's private.
Right. Yeah, I have about 10 or 15 people in my life that I discuss this with on a regular basis, which is what I recommend everybody do. Find some intelligent people or people on your own wavelength, some people who are on the same side as you and some people who see things differently. That way you get a good mix and it makes for some great conversations where you have mutual respect and you have the ability to speak confidentially with each other so that you can truly have the discussions that are going to be meaningful. Is the way that I recommend you do it. You don't really need to broadcast this to the world. I know that somebody who is listening to this live is already asking a question like, if you're building your business via social media, is it just best to not even get involved with this stuff at all?
Right, that's James Archer. He's in the chat room.
Yeah, great, great man, and I'm glad to see him here. I think he's a great guy. I've had some conversations with him. I think he's awesome. Now,
he is.
Going along with that, frequently, you know, your business coach or your marketing advisor, whatever, is just going to tell you to stay the heck out of it for pretty much the reasons we've discussed right now. But we come to a point where one of two things happens. Either we're so burned up by what we're seeing that we, as Americans or citizens of whatever country we're in, just can't stay silent any longer. It's like, yeah, I get the whole thing of maybe it's best to stay silent, but this is my future. This is my world, and I'm not going to just let everybody else run their mouths without me having my say. And sometimes that will just emotionally override any practical considerations, and there's no judgment on that. I mean, it is whatever it is. Or sometimes you find yourself in a situation where somebody's trying to drag you into it. And I know we'll cover that piece as we go a little bit further. But essentially, if you choose to get involved in the conversation, whether it's about a political controversy or a social controversy or anything that has people kind of fired up and taking sides, and you're at the point where, you know, you have a very strong opinion on this because of something that means something to you personally, and you would not feel an integrity with yourself if you did not speak up, there are a few simple rules that I recommend that people follow. Number one, select a position or select a candidate that most closely aligns with your own views. So select the one that most closely aligns with your own views. That's number one. Number two, say nice stuff about them. Say positive things about the position you're taking. Let the world know that this is something that is desirable, this is friendly, this is welcoming, this is something that people should consider either joining or at least looking into and giving it its fair hearing. Number three, never attack the other side. Just don't do it. I don't care how much you just can't believe that somebody could write something like that or say something like that. Just don't. Number four, never attack the other side's advocates and supporters. We have seen time and time again how that backfires. When I see people doing it, I immediately basically just write off anything they have to say. And that's very unfortunate. But what they're showing me is that if I were to do business with them, they would be likely to throw down in some public forum somewhere, and it would get in the way of the business we were doing, and then it'd be a mess besides. And because I'm in business with them, now I'm going to have to clean it up because it's going to splash out on me. So that's number four.
Good point.
Number five.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, yeah. So when you think about when you're saying stuff like this, you also have to bear in mind that what you say and what you do can splash over and affect the people you do business with. Now, if you're taking a positive standpoint, that's one thing, because everybody has an opinion, and if you choose to express it, as I said, express it positively. Say nice things and make it into something that others should take a look at and maybe consider at least giving its fair hearing or maybe even joining. Give them reasons to want to, not attack them because they don't. Are you kidding me? I mean, did we learn basic manners in grade school? Number five, and this is number five, don't let anyone, especially some random stranger, suck you into a silly battle. And we'll talk about that one too. And number six, what you're going to want to do is you want to ask questions from a place of genuine curiosity. So there are two concepts that I want to introduce when we talk about this. One of which is we're going to talk a little bit later about agreeing with the other side as a way of beginning the conversation if you choose to engage in the conversation. But for now, I'm going to briefly introduce part two of that, which is how to debate and argue with the other side by listening. So let's say that you have somebody in your mind, they're either talking truth or they're talking nonsense, whatever it is. Even if what you perceive is their total disconnection from reality or an ability to cognitively reason, like how could an intelligent person say something like that? And it just makes you want to scream and shake sense into them. You know what you do? You listen to them. No judgment, no interruptions, just listen from a place of genuine curiosity. Wait until they're finished, and then when it's your turn, say, huh, I can definitely see what you mean there. Just one question, if I may. And then what you do is you state your counterpoint to that as a question, and you ask it not as a criticism question like, come on, really? You don't do it that way. You ask it as a way. Yeah, I've had that happen where I've been in forums and I've stated things positively and people have written back and said, really, Adam? Is that really what you think? And I would say, look, if you're going to engage with me, you do not say really, Adam, to me. This is not a request. This is a statement of how you will behave in my presence. So don't do it. So when it's your turn, just say, I can definitely see what you mean there. Just one question, if I may. And then state your counterpoint as a question you're asking from a place of genuine curiosity in a tone that conveys that you really are curious. You really would like to know why they feel that way. You'd like to hear their case, and you'd like to give it a fair hearing. So I'll say it again, just so you get the tonality, because the tonality matters here. You say, definitely see what you mean there. Just one question, if I may. And then introduce your question.
And that makes perfect sense. We've talked about this a lot, you and I. There's a great quote by Desmond Tutu that says, my father used to say, don't raise your voice, improve your argument. What are some things to consider when you're engaging in debate on social media, you know, covering the things that you just talked about, in a way that gains the admiration of those who agree with you and at least the grudging respect of those who do not agree with you?
Well, first of all, I'll just say again the 6 rules for discussing these types of issues and getting the respect you deserve. I'll just repeat them again. Mm-hmm. Number one, select the position, select the candidate that most closely aligns with your own views. Number two, say all kinds of nice things about them. Number three, never attack the other side. Number four, never attack the other side's advocates and supporters. Because next thing you know, you're going to have a whole bunch of deplorables clouding your news feed, and you just don't want that because you don't want that kind of strife. Number five, don't let anyone, especially some random stranger, suck you into a silly battle. And number six, ask questions from a place of genuine curiosity, as we just described. We spent some time on number six there. So these are 6 of the things we want to be very clear on as we dive into this. And when you do those 6 things, you are going to find that it is going to gain you a lot of respect from people, because when you're stating it positively, you're stating a point of view. I mean, who's going to argue with somebody stating a positive point of view unless they themselves are extremely negative? And if they do so, they are exposing themselves as being negative. Now, if they come to you with a statement like, oh, I can definitely see what you mean there, just one question, if I may, then that opens the door for a real conversation. I would refer people to my website, themorningadam.com, and we have posted something called the 10 Commandments of Rational Debate. And these kind of, in some ways, parallel my 6 rules for gaining the respect you deserve, but I'll read these very briefly. Number one, thou shalt not attack the person's character, but the argument. I guess you shouldn't attack at all. You should follow what I said, but you don't go after a person's character like, how could you possibly say something like that? Or did God give you a brain? You don't say stuff like that. You don't attack their character. Or, well, if that's what you believe, you must be a fill in the blank. No, you don't attack the person's character. Number two, thou shalt not misrepresent or exaggerate a person's arguments in order to make them easier to attack. So you don't say some ridiculous thing and drill it down to some ridiculous level of simplicity just so you can make fun of it. Number three, thou shalt not use small numbers to represent the whole. In other words, don't take a small sample of people who feel a certain way or act a certain way and assume that applies to a broad group. That's the same as attacking somebody's supporters just for supporting them. Number four, thou shalt not argue thy position by assuming one of its premises is true. I also talk about how there's no such thing as the truth, because you can have 3 people who view something that happens, and based on their own experiences, their own worldview, their own way of seeing things based on what has happened in their life, they may make 3 different interpretations of something they just viewed, and all of them could pass a lie detector test, because to them, they're telling the truth.
It's all about perception.
Yeah, they're telling the truth. Exactly, perception. Number five, doubt. Shalt not claim that because something occurred before, it must be the cause. Just because it happened before doesn't mean it's the cause of what's happening today. Number six, thou shalt not reduce the argument down to 2 possibilities. I am famous or infamous, as the case may be, inside discussion groups. If somebody asks me a straight up yes or no question, my answer will be, it depends. I love when people try and force it down to yes or no, because I will look for a third, fourth, and fifth option. And rather than try and answer the question by just simply saying yes or no, I'm going to help people understand what they need to be thinking about to reach the conclusion that jives with their own truth. Number seven, thou shalt not argue that because of our ignorance, the claim must be true or false. Just because we don't understand it, it must be false. Number eight, thou shalt not lay the burden of proof onto him that is questioning the claim, which is something called burden of proof reversal. It's also very similar to guilty until proven innocent, so you don't want to do that. Number nine, thou shalt not assume this follows that when it has no logical connection. So we want to make sure that we're not engaging in a level of linear thinking that says just because they said that, this is what it means. Or just because somebody did that, this is who they are. Get that? And then number 10.
Absolutely.
Thou shalt not claim that because a premise is popular, therefore it must be true, which is known as the bandwagon fallacy. And you see our major media engaging in this all the time with the way that they create opinion polls and then skew those polls. So you can have five different polls out there, and it's just a matter of how they ask the questions and who they ask the questions to. Who is their sample size? Who is their audience? There is something in persuasion and marketing. It's known as the Forer effect, also known as the P.T. Barnum effect. And I'll just briefly describe to you what this is so you can understand how easily these things can be manipulated. In fact, let me tell you about when I myself conducted a Forer effect experiment at a recent event. So I was speaking at a recent event, Jim Palmer's Dream Business Academy, and I was going to do a presentation, or I did do a presentation, on book launches. And what I wanted the audience to understand is that it's very simple to persuade your prospective book buyers that they need your book. And one of the ways I did this was by conducting a personality experiment. So day one of the event, I sat in the back of the room and I just observed people. And I was looking for seven subjects. I ultimately ended up picking six. And I gave them an entrepreneurial personality quiz. And I asked them to fill it out and turn it in. All of them did. So what happened is an hour before it was my turn to go up on stage, I gave them all the results of their personality quiz. And I said, go ahead and read this. Think about the results. Think about how this applies to you. And then we'll discuss it when we do the presentation. But don't share it with anybody else. That was very key. Don't share it with anybody else. And I gave this to all six of them. And if I ran to them in conversation, I'd say, so what'd you think of it? And they gave me a preview that a lot of them felt that it was pretty accurate. And wow, pretty perceptive personality quiz. So we bring them all up on stage when I do my presentation. And I have them pull out their results. And read their results. And then I go down the line and I say on a scale of 0 to 5, where 0 means you must be talking about an alien in outer space, and 5 means since when do you read my diary, if you get my drift. Tell me.
I think I know where you're going with this. I don't
exactly,
want to spoil it.
Exactly.
I bet you money.
Yeah,
I know where you're going with this.
In case our listeners don't. And, excuse me, they gave their answers. And one person said, oh, 4.1, 4.3, 5, 3.9, these types of answers. And then I put a slide up on the screen and asked them, look at the words on the screen. Does this match what's on your piece of paper? Here's the experiment that was done back in 1948 by Dr. Forer. He did the same thing with his class, and he had them all take a personality test, and he gave them back their results. And the results were the same for everybody. Everybody got the same results of their personality test. And he got their results, so to speak, because everybody got the same results word for word. He copied a horoscope from a newspaper. And that's what I did with this control group that I did, is I used the exact same results that Dr. Forer had given his class, word for word, back from the textbook. I gave it to them, and it was just amazing. They all felt that this 68-year-old horoscope from a newspaper described them between 4.0 and 5.0 on a 0 to 5 scale. And you know what the best part is, Denise? You're going to love this. The entrepreneurial
you didn't even give the right. You know what I would have done? I was wondering if this is what you would have done. Give the results to the wrong people.
No.
To see if
no.
they even noticed. That would have been fun.
I could probably do that, and my point is it would probably still work. So what I did is, in terms of the entrepreneurial personality quiz they took, those were just some, like, 25 questions I randomly took from the OkCupid compatibility generator.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so my point being is you saw how I faked a personality quiz based on something that has been tested tens of thousands of times over the past 68 years. And when measured, comes up with about the same results between 4.0 and 4.5 on a 5.0 scale. So if I could do that...
I had to mute you because I was laughing so hard.
If I can do that, do you think that maybe false arguments could be created? Do you think memes could be created? Do you think polls could be made to say whatever the person wants them to say?
Absolutely. I've always thought that. Didn't know why I thought it, but now I do.
Yeah, that's what you have to bear in mind before getting all excited about all this stuff, is that the person who is saying these things you feel that you need to react to, or that make you want to attack the person or unfriend them, because I couldn't possibly associate with anybody who believes that, you have to question whether they're getting their information, or rather where they're getting information, and whether it's something that is so carefully crafted that even a person of very high intelligence could be made to feel a certain way, whether that's right or whether that's wrong, which is not for the average person to decide anyway, because everybody has their own truth.
Absolutely. So what I'm taking away from this segment is keep it civil. It's okay to share your opinion about a certain political topic or a candidate or an event, like, you know, when love wins, when, the marriage thing. But don't be mean or degrading towards another group. And in fact, you need to fact check before you post. Make sure your posts are well-informed or funny, but not malicious. And just because we're entitled to our opinions doesn't mean we are entitled to our own made-up facts. That's what I'm hearing from you. Is there anything you need to add to that? Did I miss anything?
That's about all for right now. I know we still have some things to cover here in the next 20 minutes or so, so I definitely want to get onto those because, as you know, as we discussed in the green room, I have a couple other topics that I want people to grasp in terms of surviving the controversy in politics and thriving if they choose to do so.
Definitely. I will try not to interrupt you too much, so just keep on going.
All right. Okay, I'm ready for the next question, actually, because you've pretty much gotten a lot out of me already.
Well, let me think here. One thing I want to cover, if we still have time, if we're still on the same topic, is trolls, people who just want to hate. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I know where that unfriend button is, and I use it. What do you find works best in these situations? Do you try to kind of walk them through it, or do you just go, you know, there's millions of people out there, and I can find better people to deal with than you? What do you do? What do you suggest to our audience?
All right. Earlier in our conversation, I mentioned the six Freudian things that are going on to cause people to make mountains out of molehills. Remember, they're reaction formation, isolation, rationalization, hypochondriasis, intellectualization, and denial. And the reason I point that out is not because I want anybody to walk away from this thinking that they're dealing with a bunch of people with all kinds of Freudian stuff going on in their heads. But I just want them to realize that there are some very powerful brain functions that are in play here. And when people see something that is opposed to something that they themselves feel very passionately about, and the person who's stating the opposing view is somebody who they view as somebody as intelligent or influential, they themselves will feel very threatened by that. Like, what? You mean there's somebody out there that actually feels that way and they're another marketer like me? They're another whatever like me? Again, does it bother people more that people like Donald J. Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein exist in the first place? Or does it bother them more that people just as smart as them love the one they hate and can intelligently explain why in a way that convincingly challenges their own beliefs. For instance,
yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I can give you an example. Like, how could anybody support Hillary Clinton when there's this question of the 35,000 emails? How could you support somebody who has all these felony allegations hanging over their head? How could you possibly endorse somebody like Gary Johnson who doesn't know what Aleppo is? And how could you, in your right mind, say that Donald Trump belongs in the race because he has small hands, which is an example, actually, of one of the Freudian things, which is, let's see which one we want to assign small hands to, because that is just an example of the straw man argument, basically. So we're going to assign that one to reaction formation, basically. So basically, the idea that this is somebody who could be very strong, could really do a lot to make America great again, but how the heck could we trust somebody who has small hands? Now, yeah, we all know very well we know that was a joke made up by Marco Rubio, and but there are still folks out there who seriously believe the man has small hands, so they're making up a reaction formation. It's also the straw man argument. I mean, we can go back to all kinds of things along those lines. Now, I've seen Mr. Trump in person, as have several friends of mine, and we all attest he has normal size hands. But there are people online who will actually throw down over the question of the size of his hands and be ready to unfriend you over it, because they feel that their passion is so threatened by the fact that other people passionately feel the same way and can intelligently articulate that opposing view.
It's interesting, because these are specious arguments. They're silly arguments. And I'm a logical, linear, largely rational thinker.
Right.
And when I see, and look, people say, oh, don't judge, which is one of the stupidest things you can say to anybody, don't judge. As human beings, we judge. It's how we stay safe.
Yeah.
It's how we avoid danger. We must make constant judgments. It's how we are. And, you know, and I don't want to be judgmental, but there comes a point where I have to just go, you know, you truly are not somebody I want to spend any time with, even if it's 5 minutes on Facebook. My time is so valuable to me, I'm not going to give it away to you, because you have put me, or I have put me in a position where now I have to judge you as remarkably silly, and I no longer have time for you.
And you see people posting these memes, and they're thinking, I already know this is not true, and yet they're repeating this over and over and over again. Are you kidding me? Well, here's a few things I want you to keep in mind. Part of the reason I went back again to the idea of the people feeling threatened by an opposing view because they feel so passionately about their own views, they don't see how anybody could possibly see things a different way and have an ounce of intelligence in their brain because of the Freudian stuff that's going on. So that's why I brought up emails, Aleppo, and hands, just as three examples. So when you see somebody posting a meme, there's a couple questions I want you to ask, and let's focus just on Facebook for right now. When they posted that meme, number one, did they aim it at you personally? Because if this is somebody who just found their way onto your friends list because you met them at some conference 3 years ago and you barely chat with them except to exchange birthday greetings when Facebook says it's your birthday, and they posted that meme today that has the message that you already know and have already fact-checked yourself and you know is ridiculous, was it aimed at you personally? No.
No, of course not.
So, you know, if you actually just keep scrolling, it doesn't affect you in the least. Believe it or not, you know that whole thing? Remember that meme we had earlier in the year, Be Like Bill?
No.
Remember Be Like Bill? Bill sees something on the internet that offends him. Bill scrolls past it and goes home to fight. Be Like Bill.
I remember that one.
Be Like Bill. In this case, be like Bill. Bill is smart. He recognizes that you can just scroll past it, and it's perfectly fine. So bear in mind that 95% of the time that people are posting these memes, it's not personally aimed at you. In fact, if you told them that it bothered you, you would probably look like the person who's being judgmental and exhibiting large amounts of butthurt, because they're just posting what they themselves believe, and you're the one that's coming out of the blue and attacking them. So why bother? It doesn't matter. They're going to think what they're going to think, and you're going to think what you're going to think. You don't have to agree, and it doesn't preclude you having a business or personal relationship with them. That's number one. Number two, if somebody does this kind of stuff frequently and you don't necessarily want to throw them away, you know, we talk about unfriend, just unfriend me, unfriend me, unfriend me, unfriend me. Just unfollow them, as you said, unfollow them.
I do that a
way,
lot.
You and them both stay friends, but you don't have to have this thing that you disagree with be an impediment to potentially having an agreeing conversation on another topic, or maybe even doing business together, or having a pleasant conversation if you find yourselves in person at the same place at the same time. Just like if you're at a social gathering and you find yourself in a conversation with somebody who's, you know, running their mouth and you don't want to be involved in this conversation, you know how you just politely say, excuse me, I'll be right back. Anybody need anything? And then just walk away.
Right. And I do that all
the
time. And on, you know, you can unfollow. It doesn't have to be just political. Like I unfollow people because truly I'm not interested in their small children. I'm not. You know,
right.
Or, you know, if they are posting a lot of stuff that just doesn't really interest me, and, I mean, I know they love their kids, and I'm just using this as an example, but I really have no interest. Unless it's a little black cat, then I might be interested. But, you know, I will unfollow for a variety of reasons. The most, you know, the one these days seems to be like, oh, geez, and, you know, have a cup of coffee and take a breath. Just calm down.
Church.
So, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I don't want this stuff coming into my zone, if you will. I'm working, I'm busy. You have your opinion, I honor your opinion, but I don't need to see it all day long.
That's right. So by unfollowing, all you're doing is saying, excuse me, I'll be right back. You're not attacking
exactly.
them in any way, you're not questioning them in any way, you're not even discussing it. You're just saying, I'm gonna go stand over there for a minute, just keep talking, it's okay.
And that works.
I
mean, there's a lot of people I do want to stay friends with them, but I don't necessarily want, you know, I'm not interested in their topics, or I'm not interested
right.
in, you know, the stuff that they're regurgitating. So many reasons. Now, there are people I will instantly unfollow and in some case block. And that's,
uh-huh.
you know, become more often too, which I, you know, again, I'm using this word a lot, but
that's
I find
your choice.
It sad. Yeah, yeah, I find it sad that it's kind of come to this, but it's just, it's bad out there.
Yeah. And what we're trying to do here in the time we have together is to show people how to do it better. So first of all, just to recap, understanding that there's a lot of Freudian stuff that may be going on and not looking at that by way of saying, oh, those people that are talking about these emails and Aleppo and hands and all that, these people must be crazy. The idea is to get you to empathetically and sympathetically understand how compassionate human beings work and understand that you have some of that going on inside you as well. I promised a little bit earlier that I would tell a story about how I myself got really butthurt over something. Can I share that now?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. There is a gentleman who everybody has heard of named J.P. Sears. He filmed all these satirical videos, and he had put out this video one day called If Meat Eaters Behaved Like Vegans, and it was actually kind of funny. You know, it was kind of funny, but what bothered me was that it seemed to elicit a lot of hate, where everybody came out with their favorite I hate vegan story, or I'd like to take vegans and force feed them bacon, or I wish these vegans would shrivel up and die, and comparing them to Satan worshipers and all kinds of stuff. Like, holy heck. And I ended up going off on the guy, like just blowing up at him. And when I looked at it afterwards, I said, wow, dude, what'd you just do? And I think that happened for a reason, because it caused me to develop a new level of compassion, because I myself am human. And when I see people posting stuff that just looks like sharing of ridiculous memes or getting really, really upset over some news story, it gave me a personal insight in terms of what was happening to me, and it caused me to become very curious. And that's why I'm so passionate about this topic, because I recognize that we all have this inside ourselves, get really upset over something, and we may get to a point where we may just want to lash out. But rather than start unfriending people and start destroying your own reputation, other people's positions on social media and on the internet, and just generally making a very bad situation, stop. Recognize what's going on, and if you choose to participate in the conversation, put a new positive frame around it. That's my passion. And people who were following when I did that, this happened a few months ago, I've been promising people that I would tell, that would reveal how that ended up, because I actually messaged Mr. Sears personally with a lot of the same vitriol, because again, this was my turning point of holy heck, wow. We all have this in us, even us rational thinkers, right? And he sent me a very friendly video in reply, and he thanked me for what I had to say, and told me that everybody matters. And
you know, I remember you telling me about that, and I was really impressed by how both of you handled that.
Like, whoa, my respect meter for him just went through the roof. I became a fan. And the reason why is because he saw something coming at him that was very negative and very charged, and he recognized what I'm sharing with your audience today, and he saw that by showing just a little positivity, he could turn that whole thing around. So when you have somebody coming at you with a lot of passion, and you say something like, I can definitely see what you mean there. Just one question, if I may. See how that turns it around? And also notice how I'm softening my own voice from a high-level passion over here to, I can definitely see what you mean here. Just one question, if I may. I mean, it may have seemed like a moment ago I was going off on a rant, but I was actually doing that very strategically to show your audience. And if you're listening right now, you know, notice how your emotions changed. I'm like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe this. And these mean people, too. I can definitely see what you mean there. Just one question, if I may.
Exactly.
Notice how your own emotions go up and down as you hear those two intonations, and how quickly you can change the frame.
And sometimes you have to just stand back and take a deep breath. On Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, as we've gone over multiple times, we can unfriend and block all day long, thinking, well, why do we need to know your thoughts and opinions of the opposition? Why should we tolerate one another calling each other names or telling us how stupid we are? Are we really enemies? Honestly, Adam, I want to know or need to know about you is that you are someone that is interesting and that I can respect and admire. And I admit I've had a couple of recent conversations that had me kind of rocking back on my heels. These are people that I do a lot of business with, that I refer them a lot, they refer me a lot. And it just kind of came up, not me, I wasn't bringing it up, but it kind of came up, the presidential thing. And it surprised me in two cases in particular. It really surprised me about how passionate they were about a candidate that I cannot support, not now, not in any life. But here's the kicker, Adam. Did it change my opinion? Absolutely not. These are people who are rock stars in their own right. I'm fortunate enough to know and collaborate with them. And they were willing to offer their point of view as a conversation rather than a battering ram. So we were able to discuss and then agree to disagree and keep on going. I would really love to see more people do that. Turn it into a conversation rather than a, oh, really? You're going to vote for him? Or really? That whole hand on the hip thing? Boy, that'll bring your hackles up. You're right.
Exactly. So there is there's one other thing I want to make sure we get in before the top of the hour. And I know we haven't covered it yet. First of all, we covered a lot of what we do with trolls. We can most of the time you can just walk away. Now, if somebody who you don't even know, who's a complete stranger, decides to attack you out of the blue because they saw you post something online, and I've done this in a few cases, I will literally just type to them, and I mean word for word, I will type the phrase, I'm not interested in discussing it with you. Now, usually they'll get butthurt and they'll say, What do you mean? This is an open forum. I believe I have the right to speak. I said, I'm not interested in discussing it with you. And just keep repeating that until they go away. And they usually do.
Yeah, I've seen you because do that, and it's very effective.
Right, because if you're, because let's say, Denise, let's say you're at a local restaurant, and you're sitting up at the bar, you're having a meal by yourself, and somebody tries to chat it up with you, and they're talking about some stuff that you just find uncomfortable. You're not going to say, you know, I'm really not interested in discussing this. I just came here to have a meal. If you can do it in your own life, why can't you do it online?
See, this is what, and you made a very important observation there, and I say this all the time. Look, social media, when you're posting on social media, there is a litmus test. Do you want to say this in front of your mama? You know, I live in the South.
Uh-huh.
Or do you want this on a billboard? I mean, you have to, would you, look, if you're going to talk to me in a way on social media that you wouldn't dare to my face because you're guaranteed that I will stomp you, you may want to think about it before you post it.
That's a smart way of looking at it. Now, I know we're short on time here, but there's one more thing I want to introduce to your audience I think is extremely powerful.
If you've got a few minutes, I'd love for you to stay. We will stop streaming, but we will keep recording. So if you've got a few minutes to stay, don't rush yourself.
I'm not going to rush myself, but I do want to make sure we cover this one other thing that I promised you back in the green room. And that is, if you find yourself in a debate, whether you choose to enter the debate or you find it thrust upon you in a way that you can't just shrug your shoulders at, the best way to approach it is sometimes to agree with the other side. Let's start by saying, I agree. This is a marketing technique, actually a persuasion technique, and they teach this in neuro-linguistic programming. So let me give you some examples of statements you might put in your marketing emails. For example, I agree that the longer you wait to invest in yourself, the more you're just postponing the results you know will get everything you've always wanted in business and life. I agree. Trying to go it alone will make your journey that much more difficult than if you have someone standing by your side. Now, I agree that it's important to check things out fully before you make a great decision. I agree. It shows that news is made rather than just happening naturally. I agree. It's important to learn and understand this. I agree that fostering effective communication in the workplace will get more things done. So you see what I'm doing there, Denise? What I'm doing is I'm making statements that most people would agree with. And by doing that, I'm building common ground from which we can have a conversation. So if you're posting that in, let's say, your email marketing copy, what you're doing is you're stating something that your listener is highly likely to agree with. So what you're doing is you're accessing something that they likely feel is true to them. And you're saying, I feel that's true to me too. Now we have something in common, which is much more powerful than saying, well, don't you agree that it's important to learn and understand this? You know, if you know, I might say, no, I don't think it's all that important. And now you've just created a roadblock. But if you say, I agree, you're creating common ground. So let's combine that with something that we've shared a couple times on this episode already. And this is how you connect with the other side. Remember when we were talking about how to get people more likely to see your point of view by seeing theirs, by listening and listening some more? But let's combine this with the I agree principle, and then we're going to create a very powerful introduction for establishing your thought leadership. So here we go. Person, blah, 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 emails, Aleppo's, small hands. I agree. These sort of issues can be very problematic if they go unheeded and unaddressed. Definitely see what you mean there. Just one question, if I may. See what I did?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you're having a conversation, and you're agreeing to disagree, but you're also trying to see if you can get some more information to where, you know, maybe you have some more points of agreement rather than points of disagreement.
Right. That's the whole thing behind it. We find the common ground, and by shifting our tonality and by shifting our language, we turn what could be a very hostile situation into something that allows you to come across as the thought leader. Because when you take control of the conversation in a positive way, you become the thought leader. When you show that you can listen to other people without passing judgment on them, they're going to listen to you because you gave them a fair hearing. If they are somebody you need to be speaking with in the first place, they're going to give you a fair hearing now. You see how that works?
I do. And it's not manipulative. It really isn't.
No, it's not.
it's common sense. Everybody wants to have respect. You know, we want to give respect. We want to gain respect and receive respect. You're not going to get it if you go through life as a battering ram calling other people stupid or uninformed. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You have just made yourself really look bad, and you're going to lose that respect that you may have already had. So,
yeah.
You know, I've asked this time and time again, Adam, what has happened? What in the world has happened to America? We are losing our civility. You know, we seem to think that it's okay to just do whatever the heck we want on social media. And your approach is, you know, have conversations. You know, have these conversations, find points that we can agree on, have a reasonable conversation where, you know, I'll listen to you, and I may not agree with you, but, man, that's an interesting point. I can see why you think that. I'm not going to do it, but, you know, thank you for sharing. We can learn and grow so much just by a few simple things that you've pointed out several times, and I wish people would adopt this. I really do.
Well, I wish they would too, and it's unfortunate what the divisions this caused. And as a closing thought, I'd just like people to think about why do we have to be divided, and whose interests are served when we are divided? I don't want to have a discussion on that. I just want people to think about those things from a place of their own truth and their own perception of the world. Why are we divided, and whose interests are benefited when we are divided? Just think about those two things and bear those in mind when you decide to find yourself, well, pretty much anywhere on social media, because sometimes controversy and politics will find you even when you try to avoid them. It's happened to friends of mine. It's happened to me a couple times. And as I revealed and confessed about 15 minutes ago, I found myself starting it at one point. So I tell that story not because I'm trying to just get on a bandwagon of, oh, no, Adam's not perfect. He's like us too. But just to show that in all human beings, we have emotions, and we all have the Freudian stuff going on inside us. So let's look at how we can use that to create a new foundation for understanding and respect.
Exactly. It's all about how you stand up and present. What do you want to present to the world? You know, how do you want to lead by example, or do you want to be, you know, lead by exhortation, which, by the way, doesn't work with most people. It doesn't work on me. I can tell you that much. But if you want to lead by example, no matter what your political leanings are, I will be happy, you know, to stay in touch with you and learn from you and, you know, absolutely respect your position. But you have to lead by example. I think that's very, very important. Adam, before we end the podcast, please tell people where they can find you on the web.
Well, what I'd love people to do is I'd love them to join this conversation. I invite you to find The Morning Adam. Our website is www.themorningadam.com. You can also find us on Facebook under that name, and you can find us on Twitter at The Morning Adam. Please follow us. Please like us. Please join the conversation. We post some great stuff every day. Sometimes it's deep and insightful. Sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's a little bit nutty because it's always morning somewhere. We want to bring together the business, the online marketing, the persuasion, the copywriting, and the current events in a fun, exciting way that helps you win at the game of business and marketing.
Before we go, I want people to go read the post where you talked about the guy bringing his food on the airplane. I had tears running down my face. Anyway, I laughed so hard I scared one of the cats off my desk. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, there's a companion article that's come out as well. It's called Why They Can Keep Their Short, Cheap Flight from Las Vegas to San Diego, which is, you know, one of the benefits of doing of driving instead of flying is you get to decide who your seatmate is or if you even have one. So here's what happens. And, you know, for your audience, I'm going to reveal that The Morning Adam is written in the third person because we are on our way to becoming a media outlet of our own, and we're eventually going to have multiple writers. So we're trying to create the idea that we are a news source rather than a random blogger at over a cup of coffee and a laptop just ranting. So we're laying that groundwork from the very beginning because people read this and wonder why I talk about myself in the third person. Yes, it's illyism because, you know, Bob Dole, Denny Crane, that sort of thing. But I also want to separate the medium from the messenger in that way so we can develop and grow. So here's what happened. I'll just tell you to you as it happened to me. I'm on this airplane, right? And so, you know, I'm coming back from a conference. I'm on the connecting flight. I'm getting settled in. I've got my book open. I've been wanting to read this book for a while. It's a history book. I want to go back in time. I think it was about Theodore Roosevelt or something like that, one of my favorites. So I was looking forward to being transported back 100 years. And then suddenly, now I grew up in the country, Denise. I know what roadkill smells like. And I smelled roadkill. And I looked over, and my seatmate had arrived, and he had this disgusting stuff in those little plastic baggies. It was like salami and Swiss cheese or something. And you can tell that he'd left it out of a refrigerator for a day and maybe 2 days. And I don't think I need to describe what happens when you don't keep that stuff refrigerated. Like, it's like that stuff unrefrigerated reminds me of why veganism is a beautiful thing, believe me. So now, not only that, but he's one of those noisy eaters. And you know what I'm talking about. These are the type of people
who
they somehow manage to crunch gummy bears. I don't know how this is possible. They manage to crunch gummy bears. That's how noisy they are. And not only that, but he's one of those people that would it's bad enough that people sometimes will continue conversations while they have food in their mouth. But he was actually one of those who would pause what he was saying, stuff his mouth, and then continue. Rather than, like, at least have the halfway decency to finish his thought before loading his mouth again. So it was that egregious. And I'm thinking, please, just don't look at me. Right? Because I'm already ready to go up. Taps me on the shoulder, and he starts asking me all kinds of questions about smartphones. Meanwhile, he's holding this little flip phone that probably does texting. It was so old and so little. It may or may not even had a camera inside. Remember back 10 years ago where the idea of your phone having a camera was considered a bonus rather than a standard feature? I remember when I made the transition, I was like, woohoo, I'm a journalist now, that sort of thing.
I kept mine. It's orange. I kept it. It's in my closet, my office closet, just in case.
I believe it.
You never know when you might need one.
Yeah, so, and it was clear he was just trying to make conversation. So I'm staring at my book about Theodore Roosevelt, and I'm giving one-word responses to each question, and I'm not following up to act like I'm in any way curious about him, and I just let it go silent, and he keeps filling in the gaps and everything. Now, eventually, he kind of got the message, and it's like, you know, get your nasty food away from me and all that. What I was trying to do is spare him the embarrassment of saying, you know, your food makes me sick. And you breathing on me is making me sick, and your lack of eating manners is triggering my misophonia where I want to punch you in the mouth.
See, I couldn't have handled it. You are a stronger person than I am because I probably would have found a fork and stabbed him in the hand or something. I couldn't do it.
Which is another thing you want to think about here is that you know how some people get really annoyed when other people chew gum or talk with food in their mouth or just make a lot of mouth noises and things like that. That doesn't make the person who's bothered by it in any way insensitive by design or judgmental or somebody who can't handle being around other people. There is actually a condition called misophonia. And it causes people to have reactions to certain sounds. That's actually some of those same people who are misophonic also have perceptive abilities that make them great artists and make them great thinkers. And because their perceptive abilities are so turned up on the dial, the little things that other people might not even be fazed by, like, you know, people with talking with food in their mouth or snapping gum or something like that, it's going to affect
it. It really drives me crazy.
It's because your sensitivities and your empathy with the world and your ability to perceive other people and find them where they are and see elements of what's going on in your world around you that other people might miss is because you're so sensitive and so in tune with what's going on that everything's amplified and these things are it's like the proverbial fingernails on the chalkboard thing going on.
The minute you said that, my back, I actually just bowed my back and the hair on my arms rose up.
Pin clicking.
I have been in meetings where I have literally, when I literally couldn't take it anymore, I have walked over and taken the pin away, and it was the boss. I didn't care. stop it.
Exactly.
Stop it.
Yeah. Right. So you understand the whole misophonia thing, which is another area.
Well,
and
I
I'm glad you brought
and
this
that's
up.
That's why I enjoyed that post so much.
And I'm glad you brought this up, Ashley, because it does relate to what we're speaking about, which is finding new ways of understanding what's going on in people's brains and how it's going on in your brain as well. So that rather than view things that have nothing to do with you actually as an attack, or even if you are attacked, look at it from a different point of view, it enables you to be positive and set the example that makes you a thought leader.
Exactly. Adam, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I'm so glad that you came on to talk about this. It's a hair trigger topic, but it's a very important topic, and I don't think we insulted anyone. I think you gave them some very important tools on how to kind of navigate these landmines, and it's getting worse. Yeah, and it's going to get worse between now and November, and God only knows what's going to happen after that. So, you know, my advice would be to people who are like, oh, you know, you said what to stand back, take a moment. You said something so important, you know, about the middle of the show, I think, where you said, you know, just keep on scrolling. It's probably not aimed at you anyway. Take a deep breath. You don't take everything so personally. Don't get personal with other people. And if you need to make a judgment that these people are just not, you know, somebody you want to pay a whole lot of attention to, don't feel guilty about it. Move on. There are millions of people on social media. You can find people who do interest you and who, you know, do have a lot to share with you and who are willing for you to share with them. Just don't take it personally and don't get nasty. Just don't.
Right.
Any last thoughts before? And thank you for staying over. We're about 11 minutes over, but we're still recording. So did I miss anything in that kind of wrap up? Do you have any last thoughts?
No, we caught everything. The reason I interjected the I agree thing is because it's one of the things I really promised to bring, and I wanted to make sure we covered that. So again, the entire phrase, and you can find all of this on themorningadam.com, is just to put that together. You say, I agree. These sorts of issues can be very problematic if they go unheeded and unaddressed. So what you're agreeing to is that these sort of issues can be very problematic. They can go unheeded and unaddressed. That can mean whatever it means. It can mean, I agree that if I don't heed and address the nonsense you're spewing, that it's going to be problematic for me. I mean, it could mean whatever it is. But, and for them, it can mean, yeah, this is a problem, and I need people to heed and address this. So you're agreeing that the issues can be problematic, and if they go unheeded and unaddressed. I can definitely see what you mean there. And all that means is I read it. Just one question, if I may.
Right, but it means that
then
you're picking out
your counterpoint.
You're picking out something that you can't agree with.
Yeah, then you introduce your counterpoint as a question asked from a place of genuine curiosity. And they may look at that and say, oh boy, I got somebody on the other side who's actually listening to me. I might be able to make a convert today. Ooh. Now, you may not feel the same way, but you can see how an awesome conversation can come as a result of that, just because you're changing the tonality of the conversation and building common ground.
Exactly. You're stepping up. So, and I think this whole conversation has been wonderful, and I hope that a lot of people download it and listen to it and put into practice, you know, everything that we've talked about. Adam, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been wonderful chatting with you, as it always is. And I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways as much as I did, and I hope they will go to your website and get involved in that conversation. For everybody who was listening, the show will be available for download in just a few minutes, and you can find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Adam Homey, and I will see you next week. Adam, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was always a pleasure.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.